Again, good morning and Happy New Year to you all. I am Crystal, pastor here at City Well. It's 2020, y'all. Amen. Amen. Someone, I think Isaac just mentioned to me, 2020 is the year of clear vision. That'll preach. That's not what I have on here, though, but that'll preach. Amen. So we will be revisiting that. 2020, the year of clear vision. This morning, our passage is, again, a familiar one. We are at the last day of Christmas. Christmas has 12 days in the liturgical calendar. But tomorrow, January 6th, is Epiphany. Epiphany, the manifestation and revelation of Jesus Christ. So in that vein, hear these words of our Lord. I'll make sure I have the correct text. If you were here last week, you know what that's about. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us. God, you are with us always. And like you guided wise men that those many years ago, you continue to guide those who would be wise men and women to you now. Guide us by your word that we may find you and pay homage this day. In Jesus' name we pray, and let the church say amen. 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 So I have done a lot of moving around. A lot of you all have done that too. Many of you understand what I mean when it says I lived a life in New Jersey, New York first, and then New Jersey for many, many years. And then in a 5-year period, I moved 4 times. 5 years, 4 times. That's a big deal. I remember when I first moved from New Jersey to Durham and feeling like, oh my gosh, of all the things I was concerned about, it was that I would get lost. I was going to get lost in this new town. But I began to feel very accomplished when I got the landmarks right. 15501, 40, that highway 40. and how to get back and forth between school, Duke Divinity School, my house, and church. One thing that helped me in all of this, and you all have it too, is a GPS, Global Positioning System. Now, I would like to say that I have good directions, but when you can just punch in your address in your phone, and your Bluetooth over your car will tell you exactly which way to go, it makes it pretty easy, right? Makes getting where you need to go easy. GPS has become a sort of commodity, something that we need, no longer a luxury. GPS, Global Positioning System. You know where I'm going with this. In our text this morning, there are a band of seekers using a GPS, a Global Positioning System, just not the one we easily recognize. This story of epiphany, the manifestation, the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is first and foremost the Jewish Messiah. It is a story we cherish, but if you are not of Jewish lineage this morning, you enter in the same place that these wise men do, these Gentiles, so-called outsiders. Men, and men can be wise, y'all. Men, sensitive to who would be the savior of the world, no matter his background or his pedigree. He, the savior of the world, has entered into the stage of humanity, and these outsiders are willing to do whatever is necessary. I can't get over that line. They knew how to search diligently. Search diligently. We too are tasked with searching diligently, coming to pay homage, giving gifts, and sometimes having to go a different road. Our journey with the Lord, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, will take us on some winding paths. And if they haven't yet, just stay the course. It will. You will be surprised and even exhausted at times, but you are encouraged. I am encouraging you. This text is encouraging you to search diligently. For time and time again, you will find the Christ. Wise men from the East, wise men and women recognize signs. The Magi, as they are often called, were perhaps astronomers, astrologers from Persia, Gentiles who observe stars. They had some knowledge, they knew enough, they knew some things, and they knew that there was something different going on. They knew enough to know that that star meant that someone important had been born, the King of the Jews. That alone is profound. Men from the East knew about a star and its meaning. These were important men, men of a different pedigree, men impressed by a sign that wasn't from their people, that was a sign for another people, another people's king. See, the story is contrasted by these wise men from the East and the wise men of Israel, men who should have recognized the sign of their own king. Why did it take a band of Gentile Persians to come and alert the Jewish people to their Messiah? Sometimes we, as Christians, children of God, can get complacent. There are signs all around us, but they become mundane. That child healed, you healed. That breakthrough, the love that you share, the love that we share, are all signs that Christ is among us. But if we're not keenly aware to the signs, we too will miss them. The chief priests, the scribes of Israel, missed the Messiah being born in their midst. Perhaps the wise men of the East had what I like to call a teachable spirit. They didn't care that this was a king for another people. They knew that this was important, and they were going to go and experience it for themselves. Perhaps they were open to newness and difference. Perhaps change didn't mean so much to them that they weren't willing to experience it. We know that being willing to pay homage to a foreign king could have put them at danger. Perhaps the reason that these men were wise was because of their willingness to read the signs. Wise men and women recognize signs. Wise men acted. It goes without saying that to be able to search diligently for Christ, it's going to require us to do something. Me and the sticker. It's going to require us to act. Searching is an action word. Too often we get complacent. We just want to sit, let something happen to us. Jesus was the King of Kings, and he was born in the midst. And these wise men saw a star, but they were willing to step out to experience it. They were willing to go on a pilgrimage to seek out this king. No true GPS, just a star. Now, when they came to where they thought they would be received well, perhaps they thought this was Herod's son who had been born, or at least someone in his lineage. When they came to Herod, and he being unaware of the sign, but immediately aware of the threat to his monarchy, he told them, "Go and search for me." Men from the East had to come to tell Israel that their Messiah had been born, but they were willing to go a step further. Searching diligently will always require our action, us being willing to do something, us being willing to go deeper to search for our Lord. As I was looking over this text again, I thought about what it must have meant for the wise men to get to Herod and to find out he was not aware of what was happening in his midst. They had enough sense then to think about going back. Sometimes we too can get ourselves aligned with the Herods of our day. We alert them to the injustices in the midst. We alert them to the signs that we see. We alert them to how God is moving. And when we take them off guard, sometimes we have to move away from them. Who do we side with? Who is our allegiance with? The wise men went deeper. They were on a mission, and the purpose of all of this was so that they could pay homage, so they could go and worship the king. Armed with this knowledge of what was going on in Herod's court, the wise men continued. These wise men did not take anything that they experienced for granted. They ended up worshiping, paying homage, respect, giving honor and reverence, and they gave honor to the king. The gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, representing these three offices that Jesus encompasses, king, priest, and prophet. They not only gave gifts, but they gave gifts appropriate for who they were worshiping. This morning, we acknowledge the gifts and talents of those being commissioned to be leaders here at the church. I often wonder and allow myself to be challenged about what gifts it is that I am offering back to the Lord? Are they appropriate for who he truly is? We are to worship, to pay homage, to bring our full selves, just like the wise men. Something I don't want us to miss. The scripture tells us that in a dream, the wise men went back to their own countries by another road. The wise men, receptive to signs, had this dream, warned about what Herod's true intentions were, and acted and changed course accordingly. To act diligently, to search diligently, we are going to need to be aware of the signs, be willing to act and worship. But sometimes that's going to mean changing course. I had an interesting experience being a pastor in Eastern North Carolina, and I've shared this with you before. I thought I would go there and I would be able to serve and stay a good long time. And after a year, I found myself right back in Durham, right back where I had started from. It was funny that first time I was driving around, again with the GPS. This time, I knew the roads a little better. I still put in the location that I was trying to get to. I remember thinking, wow, this wasn't my plan, Lord. This wasn't my plan. I've had to change course. God blessed my time in Swansboro, but I think what I was most blessed by was realizing that the journey that I'm on is not my own, that I must search diligently wherever Christ is to be found. God led me to Swansboro. I was faithful. And God led me back here to Durham to you all as well. I pray to continue to be faithful. Searching diligently means sometimes we are going to have to change course. Another line that struck me in this passage is that when the wise men found Jesus, they were overwhelmed with joy. When was the last time you can say that you were overwhelmed with joy about an encounter with Jesus? I leave this to you in closing. Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelled in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. The light has shined. It is Epiphany. Christ is with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.